The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Oh, hi. If you like this show, will you leave a review for it wherever you listen to podcasts? You don't even have to write anything. Just some stars will do. It's one of the most effective ways to spread the word about us and one of the most meaningful ways to show your support for what we do. We are so grateful. Okay, here's the show. Oh my gosh. Merry holidays. Happy holidays. The holidays are happening right now.
Actively.
So we are rerunning a true fan favorite and also host favorite episode. We cover a lot of things in this episode. We cover Build-A-Bear After Dark. We cover Dua Lipa. We cover Ope, a very Midwestern saying. We are probably both in the Midwest as this airs, is my guess.
I think so.
And you know, if you have thoughts on this or anything else we should be talking about, please leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463. Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. If you want more where this came from and want to support us in general, head to athingortwohq.com and sign up for Secret Menu, which will get you weekly access to members-only content.
To share your thoughts on this episode or anything at all, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at athingortwohq. To share your thoughts with other listeners of the podcast, join our Geneva.
Oh my gosh. Also, hey, if you're on the Apple Podcast app right now and you've never left us a review or hit five stars or anything like that, just scroll down and do that right now.
Just hit five stars.
We'll just give you a minute to do it. We'll just sit quiet here. And
that was long enough. Hi.
Hi.
I have straight hair.
You have straight hair.
You told me I need to address it for the listeners.
Well, now that we have a TikTok account and we're posting video, people are going to notice, Claire. They're going to know.
Thanks.
And they're going to get comments.
It's temporary. I get this defrizzing treatment from Rudy Pena at Julian Farrell Salon. And part of the process is that he flat irons it into my hair. And then I leave it in for 24 to 36 hours and then wash it out and go back to curly hair. But it's less a less frizzy and more relaxed version of my curly hair. But I used to straighten my hair, as you know, quite often in, like at the end of high school. I did it for the first time ever, I think junior or senior year of high school. And then throughout college, when I had the time, I would do
it. At the turn of the century.
Yeah, at the turn of the century. And so, and now I have no interest whatsoever in having straight hair ever. And so what happens is it just brings me back into this, like, in a very intense way to being at the turn of the century. It's totally so not me at all. It is fun for like a second to be like, this is me as a straight haired person, and that person is totally different. I don't know who she is, but I'll let you know when I find out.
Please. I hope she's into CrossFit.
Definitely is.
Okay, so something we've talked about on the podcast before that somehow has just come up again way more than I would have thought is After Dark.
So when we talked about this before, we talked about it specifically in the context of the screensaver because that had come up in your life somehow. And then you related it back to Peach Pit After Dark. And I can't remember at the time if we just like talked about the fact that I've just always thought, separate from Peach Pit and the screensaver, that After Dark meant sexy.
Well, Peach Pit After Dark was definitely meant to be Peach Pit sexy. That was their like short, like, like sexy, unique Peach Pit.
So the term After Dark has come up several times, which we'll get into in a moment, just like across, it's come across my radar several times in the last couple of months. And every time I'm like,
Do I have the wrong
understanding? Have we agreed on a definition? Have we agreed on a definition?
So, Erica, I Googled, like, sure. What does after dark mean? And everything is literally just like, it means when the sun has gone down.
Well, yeah. But...
So then I really did start to be like, is this one of those things where I've gone my whole life thinking, like, is it a misheard lyric? You know?
Right. Yeah.
And then, so then I asked Chris last night, I said, what does after dark mean for you? And he's immediately like, well,
what does after dark mean to you?
And instead of just responding, he just like, it's clear I'm about to get a lecture. And he's like, it's loaded for people our age. And I was like, okay, thank you. Tell me more. And he was like, it's because of Cinemax and BET who use the term after dark. And that was for their sexy content. So I Googled, I looked up on YouTube Cinemax after dark and it was porn, basically.
Yeah.
It was like light porn.
Cinemax.
It was Skinemax. Yeah. And so then I felt validated of like, okay, that is what that term came to mean, at least for a certain generation of people. So then I love that daily trend report from Cassandra. That's a trend forecasting agency, right? And so they do a whole thing about like grown-up toy companies, basically, or toy companies appealing to grown-ups. And they single out Build-A-Bear, which came out when we were young, or, you know, started when we were young. And so has this sort of devoted following of people our age who remember it from when they were kids. And so Build-A-Bear has now leaned into its popularity with grownups by launching an adults-only e-commerce site called The Bear Cave that requires users to confirm they are over 18 before entering. They also released an After Dark collection of plushies aimed at adults. So I read this
plushies,
and I'm like...
Okay, so plushies is a word that also implies something else. And what they mean here is just stuffed animals.
Thank you, Erica. And I, again, like plushies was a point of fascination for our generation. So everything about this, I'm like... holy shit, I will be clicking through to understand.
I will confirm I'm over 18. And then you get there and Claire, what happens?
So we'll start with the Bear Cave, which yes, you have to confirm you're over 18. It's all just brand collabs with like slightly grown up brands. And by slightly grown up brands, I just mean Swarovski, the Van Gogh Museum, Doctor Who, like not Sesame Street. I was like, this is what I had to confirm that I was 18 or older to get. And then I'm like, well, this is just the Bear Cave, to be fair. This is not specifically the After Dark collection. Well, I went to the After Dark collection. And Erica, it is just all bears drinking alcohol.
Yeah, it's like bears with white claws is basically what After Dark means.
It's so wild. I was like, if this is meant to appeal to the Spencer Gifts generation, this is completely missing the mark because Spencer Gifts was the After Dark store at the mall.
And it was Build-A-Bear After Dark.
Yes, it was.
Spencer Gifts was Build-A-Bear After Dark. You didn't need to reinvent the wheel.
The sexiest thing on this website is a stuffed dog wearing a costume that looks exactly like the sexy Santa costume that they wear in the talent show in Mean Girls. Like, I think that was the direct inspiration. I can't imagine 100%.
And yes, of course, this dog has some sort of like eggnog.
Eggnog in a martini glass, which as you do with cinnamon stick garnish.
And like a heeled boot?
Black ankle booties.
The dog's name is Barclay.
Mm-hmm.
B-A-R-K-L-E-I-G-H.
Which is also a direct appeal to our generation who decided you couldn't be A-S-H-L-E-Y. You had to be A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H. So this,
I guess it's Barclay.
I think I it is Barclay, just spelled with E-I-G-H. Yeah,
like Ashley. Like,
It feels like somebody over there had a sense of humor and really understood millennials, but then someone else was like, but keep it like PG rated.
But still make people confirm they're 18.
Because that will get them excited. I mean, it's a good marketing trick. I was aware of these heeled booties because my mother-in-law.
These stuffed heeled booties.
Uh-huh. Well, so my mother-in-law took Cam to Build-A-Bear at Mall of America last week after running several other gifts by us that she wanted to get him. And we were like, he has so many mermaids and princesses. Can we cool it? She was like, fine, I'll take him to Build-A-Bear. And we're like, great, that sounds awesome. So she takes him to the Mall of America. I get a video afterwards of this thing that he's created. It's a hot pink bear wearing a sequin mini dress with purple glitter high heel booties, a yellow neon beanie, and carrying a microphone. And he picked out all of these accessories himself. And I have to tell you, this thing is way sexier than anything in the Build-A-Bear After Dark collection.
And he didn't even have to show ID.
No, he didn't. It is very sexy. And the shoes he tried to put on because they're real, like, real little high heels. I mean, they're too small for him, but if he were younger, he could be wearing these high heeled booties himself.
The one thing I didn't like is the hat. I don't understand the hat. And I know there's no feedback for me to give or there's not an audience that is interested in my feedback on this. But I was like, what pop star are we emulating here? Who is this one that wears a sequins dress and glitter boots and this dorky neon hat?
The hat makes absolutely no sense. It's completely ridiculous. Aside from the neon beanie, she's basically like a Vegas lounge singer.
Right. Right. That's it. Exactly. Exactly. It's like some version of, it's like someone from Nashville, the TV show.
Yes.
Right. Like that is the vibe.
Her name is Glitter Sparkle.
Glitter, so. First name, Sparkle, last name. Yes, yeah, totally.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so Build-A-Bear has gone off the rails. I did used to think it was kind of a classy shop and I don't anymore.
You know what changed it for me? That they have the airport vending machines.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Oh, I find it offensive and here's why. The idea is that you're building a bear.
Yes.
Not that you are buying a bear from a vending machine and maybe buying a pair of shoes from a vending machine. That is not the experience we were promised.
No, you're in
the name.
Bear factory. You are stuffing the bear.
Correct. This is a ready-to-go bear that was pre-built.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
Thank you.
Build-A-Bear, call us. We have some ideas.
Thank you. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you so much to Shopify for sponsoring today's show. We did our weekly Instagram thingy solicitation yesterday and somebody wrote in, I know you all have a lot of love for Shopify, but you also need to we can't sleep on the Shop app, which is very, very good. The Shop app makes it even easier than just regular Shopify for you to check out without entering anything in the e-commerce flow. And
well, that too, but Claire, you can track all your packages and see what's coming and what was maybe attempted delivery that you never heard of.
You can
track
all your packages. Also, you get random dollar rewards. I don't even know how they're racking up, but I got an email the other day being like, you have all this money in your Shop account. And I was like, great, I will use it. I've got like $20 in there. I'm
wow.
About it.
Congrats to you.
God knows what I spent to earn that, but you know, I'm thrilled about it. I just think this holiday season, when it's so easy to be like, I'm just gonna go with like the big, easy version of checking out for my holiday gift list. Just remember that these Shopify supported small businesses are just as easy to check out on. And if you are a small business looking for e-commerce software, please look no further than Shopify. It is the answer.
It is the answer. Shopify is the global e-commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklyn, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/athingortwo, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/athingortwo now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/athingortwo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Peyton Sarton, host of the Note to Self podcast. Note to Self is a space to embrace your unique qualities, get grounded, and ultimately have honest conversation. No topic is off limits. I began doing social media 7 years ago, and since then, I've started a clothing line and this podcast. Note to Self is a place where people from every stage of life can come for advice, new perspectives, and to feel a little less alone. Whether I'm recording by myself or bringing along a friend, we will explore topics ranging from relationships and mental wellness to social media and entrepreneurship. Tune in to Note to Self every week for the sisterly advice you didn't know you needed and raw conversations you've always wanted.
But hold on. Okay.
We're not even done with the After Dark segment
because it's come up several other times. So right after I tell you, I'm like, Erica, what is this Build-A-Bear After Dark? I swear to God, the next day, Emily Henry, the author of romance novels like Book Lovers and Beach Read, Instagrams, the ebook of Book Lovers is on huge sale for the next few weeks in the UK, and it got this sexy After Dark cover.
So she acknowledges that After Dark is sexy. Don't you think?
I think
although
so.
Although she uses sexy as an adjective to describe right. it. So it's not synonymous. I don't know.
She also capitalizes After Dark. Capital right. A, capital D. I don't, right. She has this sexy After Dark cover. And I'm like, okay, let's see how sexy it is. It's just people in canoes, but at nighttime. So this is where
it is like truly the sun has gone down. It is a nighttime cover.
Like, and I guess nighttime is inherently sexier than daytime.
I think that is the implication of all of this, is that nighttime is sexy.
But let me take you on a left turn.
Yeah.
Then we learn about this podcast, National Parks After Dark, which is apparently hugely popular. A podcast that brings together the macabre and the outdoors. Definitely not meant to be
sexy.
And
it's basically about like people who like don't leave the park.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like true crime meets National Parks, I think.
Meets Scary Stories We Tell in the Dark.
There's nothing sexy about that. That's just like it's probably too adult for kids and it literally takes place at nighttime. So then I was like, okay. So this is when I started the Google of being like, this is my misheard song lyric.
Right. And I need to like, I must ask the powers that be what the answer is, and the powers that be in this case are Urban Dictionary.
Right. Because Merriam-Webster was like, no, it literally means at nighttime. It had no reference
whatsoever. No.
Yes. So then I'm like, surely Urban Dictionary knows. No. According to Urban Dictionary, After Dark is an account on a social network dedicated to the steamier or more controversial side of a better-known blogger / tweeter / poster, as opposed to one's public daytime accounts. After Dark accounts are usually non-public NSFW and require a request to be added before these are visible. This keeps the content out of the boss's / public / spouse's / lover's eye. The name alludes to what goes on outside of work, traditionally at night, such as sex or partying. Some After Dark accounts include the words After Dark in the username, while others use different or obscure names so that the true owner will not be recognizable to strangers, but clear to anyone who knows him / her. And then I felt really out of the loop because I was like, oh, there's a whole thing in addition.
Wait, we're creating nighttime accounts?
We're creating sexy finstas.
Sexy finstas. And we're calling them After Dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
This has been an education.
For me, for sure. I'm going to continue to use After Dark to mean sexy.
I think that's how Build-A-Bear is using it, whether or not it's working.
They mean boozy. Like, and
they mean drunk.
Yes, they mean drunk. That is exactly what they mean.
Okay, a trend report fascination mm-hmm. from me, Claire.
Yeah.
The term, is a Midwesternism mm-hmm. that I believe has much broader utility. It's kind of like a y'all in that, like, why don't we all use it? Because like we should. It really, there's not another equivalent. Mm-hmm. So to me, it means something that's like basically akin to like a combination of oops and oh.
Yeah.
And so you say things like, oh, didn't see you there. Or, oh,
let me sneak right past you. Or, oh, you dropped that.
I intuitively knew exactly what you meant when you were like, I want to talk about this. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, I guess I like maybe say that sometimes. I mean, it's not like a frequent saying of mine, but I was like, yes, of course. But you showed it to me written out. And I was like, I've never seen it written out before.
So I've started to see it written out more recently. And I think it's just like a bit having a moment. And Thomas and I started talking about this because he realized that this word is like very, very core to his vocabulary and is perhaps the most Midwestern thing about him at this point. Like he says it all the time and obviously just without thinking. It's just like a little response and there's like a little bit of a sorry in there in the way that with so many Midwestern things there are, but it's not like you actually did anything.
Right? Like,
yeah, it's like, sorry when I don't need to really be saying I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And so there's this like very charming little video called School of Ope from a YouTuber named Charlie Behrens that explains like how and when you would use ope. And it's basically just like always. Mm-hmm. And the like little mantra in it is when in doubt, ope it out.
Love it.
Is this prevalent in Minnesota? Do you hear this when you go there?
Well, the thing about it, I don't know because
Notice it as like a...
I'm just like, how to explain it? I'm like, I probably do hear it and I just don't notice it as a thing because I think of it as a sound and I'm like...
It is a sound. It is a sound for sure. Yeah.
The idea
of it being a word. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
But then putting it in the context of it being Midwestern, Minnesota has all these other things like, for one, oofta.
Yes.
And so I don't think ope would get as much, even merch. In Minnesota, because they're really leading with the oofta.
Yes. I think this is maybe more of a Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay.
Like thing. Maybe this is, or at least maybe Wisconsin is the real like hub.
Okay.
Of the ope.
One of my best friend's moms, I can definitely hear her saying ope, and she is from Wisconsin. She was a sauerkraut queen of like Appleton, Wisconsin or something. And she's definitely an oper.
Stop. The way that this has been popping up for me that I've been like intrigued by. So there's this social media account, Midwest versus Everybody. And their Twitter handle is Midwestern_ope. And on Instagram, they're Midwest versus Everybody.
Yeah, they're really having a moment, huh? They're really trying to make it the y'all of the Midwest.
Yeah. And they also sell great ope merch. I need you to look. Like they're, ope in like Supreme styling. Yeah, and ope like on sweatshirts.
The Drake, if you're reading this, it's too late.
Yeah,
it is pretty funny. Yeah, so okay, there's an ope shirt that says "ope sorry" on the front and "let me sneak right past you" on the back. And the "let me sneak right past you" is actually what ope means to me, and it is certainly how I use the term. Ope.
It's like you're coming out of the bathroom and someone's waiting in line, and the door might kind of like bump into them, or it's like there's not enough space. That's when you ope.
You need someone to move out of the way of the drawer that you need to open, and they're standing at the counter. Ope.
Yes. Someone stops short, you step on the back of their shoe.
Yeah.
Oop.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yep. All use cases. Then this really peaked for me because I was trying to log into my bank account and my bank is University of Wisconsin Credit Union. And apparently I typed something wrong because I got the message, oop, incorrect username and password. Please try again.
So much more than I needed or expected from University of Wisconsin Credit Union. And I love it.
And what is powerful, Claire, is that the rest of that message, incorrect username and password, please try again, are canned, generic, nothing. But with three letters and exclamation point, it has voice.
It's so good. It is really good.
So good.
I'm quite impressed.
I would like to nominate this word as a like restaurant name for all of the Midwestern themed restaurants that are popping up in our neck of the woods, like Patty Ann's and Emmett's on Grove. Like, ope feels perfect for the next one.
The Midwest really is having a moment, isn't it?
It really is.
I think you're doing a lot of important work to elevate the brand of the Midwest.
Do you think I'm thought leading in this?
I think you're thought leading. You're also just like you're bringing visibility to great Midwesterners just by existing and being out in the world, producing content.
Yeah. Thank you. For more of this, I really do recommend following this Midwest versus Everybody account. It is just full of gems. And especially now that we're getting into like snow season, they just have a lot up their sleeves over there.
We might just need a Midwest episode at some point. There's so much good Midwest content. Something else that keeps coming up recently, I think in part, for two reasons. One, it we have just started having more in-person meetings and seeing the people we haven't seen in so long. I have just been at so many birthday parties and play dates. And so I keep meeting a lot of Cam's friends' parents, and everybody's like, wait, so what exactly do you do?
Yes. And three, I think our DMs, whenever we're like, what should we talk about on the podcast? What do you want to know about? People are like, all caps, what do you do?
Yes, that's
like,
true.
Like, besides this, like, what do you do?
And some people ask it just like very sort of like curiously and trying to be
not
nosy.
Would love to hear more about your consulting work if you're ever up for talking about it.
But the thing that it really struck me was when you and I went to breakfast with someone we hadn't seen in a long time, and he acted like it was like a secret thing that we were keeping under wraps, that it was stealth.
He was like, so tell me like what you're
But like, what do you guys actually do? What do you do? And I have to say that I after Of a Kind, I always thought it would get easier to explain what it is I do, because when people used to say, what do you do? When we were at Of a Kind, I go, well, I have this company and we sell things from emerging designers, and it was such a, and then I wouldn't know where to go.
I have this company is always a perfect start. What? How would you lose someone there? You know?
Because then, you know, sometimes you'd be like, when I started with my friend, it would always went off the rails.
And then sometimes we would introduce each other as friend, and sometimes we'd introduce each other as business partner.
Yeah.
And one time we were at some party and you introduced me to this dude, Marshall, as your business partner. And he just like laughed for 5 minutes. He thought it was so funny. He was like, can't you just say she's your friend?
Probably. That's really funny. Anyway, turns out it's not actually easier now to describe what I do, because now I do this thing, because I'm just not good at giving people broad strokes. I do this thing where I go, I spend about half my time on a newsletter and a podcast, and then the other half of my time I spend on consulting. And then I consult on like retail and brand and content and da-da-da-da-da, and people, and you're just like blank stare of like, wait, now we're getting into like half and half. And the one half is split into a newsletter and a podcast and a subscriber. And it's like, why? Nobody
asked
my revenue
streams. That makes it worse?
Yeah, tell me.
I try to do the mental math of how much time I think I'm currently spending on each thing, of being, well, I think I spend like 40% of my time on podcast news. Like, why am I, who cares? Nobody.
Erica, it is truly better than what I do, where sometimes I'm like explaining like, well, and then we like the podcast, it's like advertising dollars. No one fucking asked the revenue streams of this business.
No.
But from now on, we're just going to direct them to the timestamp on this episode, right? Because we're going to explain what we do.
Perfect.
So in addition to the podcast and the newsletter that you all are aware of and that we spend anywhere from 30 to 50% of our time on, we consult.
I would say 31 to 53, but
yes,
go on.
Fair. Fine. We consult largely and most often on content projects, largely and most often for retail and design brands. But not always. So we've had some really fun and just rich projects in retail strategy and branding and collaboration strategy, business development.
It's stuff like creating podcasts for brands or developing newsletter concepts for brands or coming up with these editorial and partnership big ideas. And then like executing on those things, because we actually like the executing part.
In a million different ways, consulting has been a really nice chapter for us. First and foremost, because it has been so refreshing to take everything we learned at Of a Kind and apply it to other people's businesses with the distance of it not being our business, and to worry about other people's problems and to have perspective that comes with being external to someone's company.
And to learn something from one project and to apply it to another, and for all of these things to just sort of like cross-pollinate in that way, where you'll be working on one thing and being like, oh, that gave me an idea for this.
Totally. I really like having the distance, and also just like the sort of variety, the spice in our life of varying percentages.
Nothing says spice like varying percentages.
Yeah, exactly. Something else relevant to us that came up recently?
Yeah, speaking of the Midwest, there was a story in the New York Times called A Landmark as Women Will Coach Against Each Other in Men's Soccer. What a weird headline. Anyway, it was basically
The Landmark
about,
is in scare quotes.
Oh, God. This story was about the University of Chicago, a men's soccer team playing against the NYU men's soccer team. And we went to University of Chicago. And so like, you know, this was very compelling. It's women in sports. It's U of C. It's like, what's not to like. And it was just like a fascinating read on so many levels.
Well, because both teams, what was Landmark about this was both men's soccer teams have head coaches who are women. And this is incredibly rare. Also both
teams. And it's like also hard to pick that out of the headline of the story, to be clear.
Well, and both teams had been doing really well this season, which you might not know otherwise, because I believe that they're D3 soccer teams.
Correct.
But it was a really inspiring read. I mean, for one, there's just so few women in coaching positions, which, you know, I guess we all sort of know inherently, but never stop to think about why. So according to data published by the U.S. Department of Education, only about 5% of all men's college teams are coached by women. And the majority of those are in low revenue combined gender sports like skiing, swimming, and track and field.
The other little tidbit that I thought was interesting was, but Title IX does not govern coaching hires. Only 42.7% of the coaches of women's collegiate teams are women. In 1971, about 90% of coaches of women's college teams were women. And I was wondering if that had to do with basically the way that Title IX made women's sports more competitive and legit. Like, did that make male coaches want to coach them and thus push women coaches out of those roles? And also related, did the pay improve? That's making it more appealing? Because like, when I was like, well, in 1971, how much money do you think a woman coach of a women's team was making?
I think you're probably right that people just took it more seriously. So then it became, well, we got to put the men in charge because this is now a money-making operation.
This is now a thing.
People are paying attention to it. It's attracting students. Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely, whatever the answer is, it sucks. whatever the explanation is. There's this quote that really gets at the heart of it, of like why this is a compelling story aside from just like it's rare. So this woman is quoted. She says, it's immensely important because we know from the data that when young men are exposed to female leaders in a context they care about, like sports, they have more egalitarian perceptions and beliefs about gender and leadership. Then they are more likely as they graduate from college to treat women as equals in the workplace and perhaps in their personal relationships. Your coach as a youth is such an influential person for you, right? Like, and your relationship with them can be so formative, and the fact that there just aren't more women in this position has really like has long-term effects presumably on the on how you relate to women. So I was like, oh, this is so interesting. And then of course, the UFC pride of like, glad to see us on the forefront of this thing.
Yes.
I looked to see who won, and I have to be honest, I'm not great at reading scores, but I think it was a tie.
Box scores aren't your thing.
I think it was a 0-0 tie.
It was a tie. Yeah, you're right. It was a tie.
But a tie of zero. Is there a name for that?
Probably, but I don't know it or remember it. Oh, what this made me think of, your whole thing about when young men are exposed to female leaders. I was telling you about, I was listening to an episode of Throwing Fits, and they had Aaron Levine on, and he was talking about, and he's like he was like the creative head of Abercrombie for years, and he designs for a ton of cool brands. He does Madewell Men, he does Vince, he does bunches of things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they were asking who his sort of influences, mentors, all of those things were. He talked about, one, how inspired he was by his mom's personal style when he was growing up. And not just in a like, my mom has cool style and that makes me care about style. Like, he wanted the Reeboks his mom had. Mm-hmm. He wanted the clothes that his mom was wearing, mm-hmm. in a way that I was just like very charmed by. Mm-hmm. But then he was just talking about, you know, his most influential boss, who was a woman and who I think heads up Vince now, or the creative team at Vince now. And it just made me excited, and like more than it probably should, mm-hmm. to hear this guy. Yeah. Herald the sort of women who led him as a men's fashion designer.
Speaking of world-class performers, is that a good segue?
Speaking of, totally.
The first time Dua Lipa came up on this podcast was years ago when we had R. Eric Thomas on, and he was writing about culture and writing about a lot of youth culture. And I was like, how do you even like know what a Dua Lipa is? I remember at that point, I truly did not know. I was like, I know that she is a performer, but I'm not even positive it's a she. And now...
You
helped me take her a little bit. I did like, okay, no, you know what happened? That Elton John song.
Wow. Okay.
Some smart executive at a music label was like, anybody who doesn't know about Dua Lipa yet will know after this Elton John song.
Thomas is a big fan of Dua Lipa, mm-hmm. has been for years. She falls into his kind of like disco mm-hmm. renaissance vibes. Mm-hmm. All the cool tweens I know, this is the concert they want to go to. Mm. Dua Lipa is like who they want to see with their mom. Like that's the thing. My niece, who's 12, my friend Tony, who's 12. This is like, these are like pinned to the bulletin board in the room is Dua Lipa. Okay. Then I read a Vogue profile of her earlier this year.
because I also just felt like I don't really know mm-hmm. enough about this person, but I do feel like she's everywhere. And I also, for whatever reason, have been just really into reading like celebrity profile, like in a physical magazine, just like, sure, it's here. Why not? She was born in London, but her family's from Kosovo and she spent some of her formative years there. And there's a quote from her where she says, "I'm always on the side of the oppressed." She's pro-Labor Party, anti-Brexit. Like she doesn't get guns in America, like all of these things in a way that made me be like, oh, okay, I can get into you.
Well, so, okay, what happened was you told me about her newsletter and I signed up and I was like, oh, there's all these
headlines. Service 95. Yeah.
But then I started also getting all of these headlines about her that were consistent with this political stance that you just described. I was served something about her speaking out about the World Cup being in Qatar because I guess there were rumors that she was going to perform and she wanted to, you know, debunk them. And she said, "I will be cheering England on from afar and I look forward to visiting Qatar when it has fulfilled all the human rights pledges it made when it won the right to host the World Cup." And I was like, wow, like where were you when all of these influencers were getting free trips to Qatar?
Yeah.
Somebody needed to tell them. Yes.
Somebody needed to tell them. Yeah. Somebody needed to tell them. Her newsletter, Service 95, I am surprised by how often I open it. I was initially surprised, at least, by how often I opened it. And then I realized it's because, like, oh, the content is good. Some of the recent headlines were, "Is gut health a rebranding of diet culture?" Brian Stevenson on how to change the world. "Sex positivity activist to follow." Like, this feels great.
I feel great about all those headlines. I really, you don't even have to open the newsletter. I mean, the newsletter is good, but to just see the headlines and being like, oh, this is who your cool tweens are following. That's great.
Love it. She also has a podcast called At Your Service. She basically has her very own thing or two.
Do you think when people ask
her
what
she does? She
was inspired. Do you think when people ask her what she does?
She's like, I have a 70% pop star and then 14% podcast.
But no, but podcast and newsletter. That's like a mini media company, basically. And then she does this hand gesture that I'm doing.
Yeah. Just like a small, to give people a sense of how wide the media company is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Just like a mini media company. But then I also like perform. And then like what happens is like I make most of my money from touring, but like album sales are like fine. But then I have to like give a lot of that money away. So it's like mostly touring with Live Nation.
And like streaming doesn't pay that much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, I don't know why she wouldn't say that. It's
God,
so strong.
Someone help me be not a weirdo. Dua Lipa, help me be not a weirdo when people ask me what I do.
Let's get her on. Yeah. Let's do a podcast swap with Dua Lipa.
Oh my God. Let's see if she wants to swap. I would totally swap with her. I'd be on her podcast. Yeah. She can be on ours.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
That's the show?
Yeah.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially to our wonderful producer, Allie Slice. You can follow us on Instagram at @athingortwoHQ, and if you have ideas for our show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingortwoHQ.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingortwoHQ.com, too. If you love the show, consider supporting it by signing up for a secret menu, also at athingortwoHQ.com.
Note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.